on behalf of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And my deep gratitude to everyone for so kindly taking your precious time to be here today. Today we have very illustrious association in the form of Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, Rasmandala Prabhu, and I believe Yadubar Prabhu is somewhere. Rasmandala Prabhu, a very devoted, learned disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, has been faithfully serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for so many years, and his special service is in education. He teaches people how to teach so effectively, incredibly effectively. Even the highest leaders of our society come to learn and be inspired by him. And he is here at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple teaching a teacher's training program at our temple to members of the Brahmacharya Ashram and congregation, 6-day course. I believe it's 6 hours every day. And after that, he'll be teaching in Gopal's Garden and Bhaktivedan Hospital and Pune. He regularly teaches all over the world, Mayapur, Radhadesh, America. We're so grateful to you, Rasmandala Prabhu, for coming to our simple temple to give us your wonderful association. Let us very lovingly and enthusiastically welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. He's also involved in many other educational programs within ISKCON. Today's lecture will be given by His Holiness Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, who we all know so well. Within hardly a year or so of his coming in association of devotees, Srila Prabhupada, seeing his dedication, seeing his incredible spiritual potential, Prabhupada gave him first initiation, second initiation, and sannyas. He was Prabhupada's personal servant. At the time when Prabhupada disappeared from this world, he was in that role of Prabhupada's personal servant, lovingly giving his heart, mind, and soul to pleasing his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada entrusted him with the incredible service of translating all of his books into the Bengali language, which is Prabhupada's own mother tongue. He entrusted that service to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and he translated all of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's purports, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Ishopanishad, and other books into Bengali in the service of Prabhupada. He also traveled around the world countless times, preaching, inspiring. His kirtans and the CDs of his kirtans are famous throughout the world for melting people's hearts. Many imitate him, but no one I've ever heard can do it like Bhakti Swaroop Maharaj. Even I've tried, and I gave up long ago. He's one of the governing body commissioners within our society for many years. His Abhay Charan series, a unique, creative way through the media of cinema, television, he has been expressing and glorifying his love for Srila Prabhupada to the world. He's the Minister of Culture for ISKCON, for obvious reasons. And at this particular time, this devotee who's on demand in every corner of this planet has decided in the service of Srila Prabhupada to focus his energy in nearby Ujjain in Madhya Pradesh. And it is unbelievable what he's doing, the contacts that he's made on every level, people coming and actually giving their hearts to Krishna. There's a major, large, magnificent temple under construction, and it's expected to be complete with installation of deities by Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day of next year. Of course, we know Ujjain is the place of one of the four places of Kumbh Mela, and also the ashram of Sandipani Muni, where Krishna, Balaram, and Sudama studied. So Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, one of his very special features is his amazing love for Srila Prabhupada and his willingness to do anything and everything to help the devotees of ISKCON. We're so grateful that you have come, Maharaj. Let us very lovingly and enthusiastically welcome him back to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Both of these great personalities, Rasmandala Prabhu and Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, have bestowed great mercy upon me and have bestowed great mercy upon all of us by being here today. Once more, very loudly, let us welcome them.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shribashadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. just before walking into the temple room, Radhanath Maharaj told me that he would give me a short introduction. Now, if this was Radhanath Maharaj's short introduction, then I wonder what Maharaj's long introduction would have meant. Now, whenever Maharaj introduces me, I face a major difficulty. The difficulty is that the way Maharaj has introduced, I have to stay, at least try to stay up to that standard, up to that description. And I know that since I do not have the ability to stay up to that standard, I am faced with great difficulty. Maharaj has this wonderful ability. He is always glorifying everyone. And this ability of Maharaj simply makes one thing very clear, that is how pure his heart is. Generally, in this material nature, due to our conditioning, we are naturally envious. Envy is, envy acts in a way where it makes us feel that all the glorification, all the honor, all the respect should be given to us. And as a result of that, we cannot actually perceive the good qualities in others. It is envy that prevents us to see the greatness of others. Envy makes us blind towards perceiving others' greatness, because due to envy, we demand that all the glorification and respect and honor should be given to us. Only when the heart becomes purified, heart becomes purified means there are various impurities. Generally, those impurities are classified in 6 categories: lust, greed, illusion, lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, and envy. Envy is actually the last one. The first one is lust, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mad, matsarya. The matsarya is the last one, because that is the most difficult one to overcome. Therefore, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam also, it has been pointed out, Vasudev pointed out, that when the heart becomes free from envy, then only one becomes a sadhu. Sadhu actually means pure. Sadhu means honest. Sadhu means saintly. In order to become saintly, in order to become pure, in order to become honest, we have to get rid of all these impurities in the heart. So the purity of the heart is what makes us into a devotee. Then only we can appreciate Krishna. As long as our hearts are contaminated, we won't be able to appreciate Krishna. Therefore, Vasudev is pointing out, Parama Nirmatsaranam Satam. Nirmatsar means non-envious. Matsarya is the word for envy. And Nirmatsar means one who is totally free from envy. So instead of pointing out all these six impurities of the heart, Vasudev is just indicating this one impurity, the Matsarya. Why? Because when one has become free from envy, that automatically means that he has become free from all other impurities. A person who is non-envious is already free from lust, greed, anger, illusion, and pride. So, ultimately it is a matter of purity of our hearts. Purity of our hearts actually mean the purity of our soul. It is the soul that resides in the heart, in the region of the heart. So purity of heart actually means the purity of the soul. When the soul becomes purified, then we become spiritually situated. The cause of our fall down from the spiritual sky is our impurity. The soul became impure. The soul became contaminated. The consciousness became contaminated. Actually, the soul doesn't become contaminated. Soul in its constitutional position is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. So the soul doesn't become impure, it is the consciousness that becomes contaminated. Therefore the process that Srila Prabhupada gave is a process of purifying our consciousness. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In its pure state, the soul is naturally Krishna conscious. The soul is conscious of only one thing, Krishna and Krishna's activities along with his devotees in the spiritual sky. So when the consciousness is projected towards Krishna, the soul is pure. The trouble starts when the consciousness is projected away from Krishna. That one little mistake of projecting our consciousness away from Krishna causes all these difficulties of this material nature. So the process that Srila Prabhupada gave is a process of purification of our consciousness, process of rectifying our perverted consciousness. When we see Radhanath Maharaj, we see a perfect example of purity. Because his heart is pure, he can glorify everybody. Even if the person doesn't have the qualities, Maharaj will see those wonderful qualities in him. And ultimately what he sees, he actually sees the reflection of his qualities. The qualities that he has cultivated, the qualities that he has developed, he sees in others. And even though a person may have little bit of qualities, Maharaj can magnify it in such a way, because those qualities are so wonderfully manifest in him. I always feel very honored and enlivened to be in Maharaj's association. And especially when I see you all in such a wonderful gathering, it naturally enlivens the heart. This also is another projection, another manifestation of Maharaj's purity and Maharaj's greatness. Prabhupada said that Krishna Shakti bina nahi tar pravartan. Krishna consciousness cannot spread without Krishna's potency, without Krishna's mercy, without becoming empowered by Krishna. Now, it's such a wonderful experience to come here and see so many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness so wonderfully. In India, to get a large gathering is not difficult. It's not difficult to get a large gathering. Sometimes people get 20,000-30,000 people gather. But the number is not important. The quality is what actually matters. So here I can see it's not only the number that is impressive, but it's the quality that is so enlivening, so encouraging, so inspiring. And the quality of what? The quality of devotion. The quality, the intensity of accepting the teachings of Krishna consciousness and practicing it, molding one's life according to those teachings. Now, how can one encourage, how can one inspire so many people, and not only inspire, at the same time systematically guide them, is a wonderful example for all of us to follow. Srila Prabhupada has given us the most perfect teachings. Srila Prabhupada's teachings is immaculate. He has given the most perfect spiritual process. And Srila Prabhupada also created the wonderful arrangement that anybody who wants to follow this process, he can have the opportunity. Anyone who accepts spiritual life, his spiritual life can be protected and nurtured and enhanced. That is Srila Prabhupada's most wonderful gift. There had been many elevated personalities who are very exalted with their own wisdom and with their Krishna consciousness. But the uniqueness of Srila Prabhupada's presentation is the perfect arrangement where people can, the aspiring individuals, can practice Krishna consciousness without any difficulty and make systematic spiritual advancement. And that is Srila Prabhupada's most wonderful gift, and that is Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when we see, then we can see this gift of Srila Prabhupada in the form of ISKCON is actually an extension of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission. Srila Prabhupada, therefore, is the most perfect representative, the most perfect disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur again got this concept of an institution for propagating Krishna consciousness all over the world from his illustrious father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur came to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Actually, soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, within 2-3 generations, his teachings started to wither. His teachings started to gradually disappear, become covered over. After Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu continued the preaching, the Goswamis of Vrindavan were continuing the preaching mission, and then Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu continued the mission in a glorious way. Their disciples also continued the mission, but gradually a deviation crept in. The thing about a deviation, that at the beginning it is not really detectable. It doesn't appear to be a deviation. It seems, well, it's the same thing. But it's like a train line, rail line. Like, it starts off with a small deviation, but then at the end we see it goes into a totally different direction. The same thing happened in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Apparently those who are followers, or rather exalted spiritual leaders, started to deviate. Little deviation introduced something which was not in complete line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. But eventually it became a complete, diametrically opposed to Mahaprabhu's teachings. And in this way, eventually, through these upper sampradayas, due to the influence of the upper sampradayas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching was completely lost. Who are those upper sampradayas? They are Aul, Baul, Lara, Leri, Kartabhaja, Sahajiya, Sakhibheki, Churadhari, Sai, Darvesh, Jati Goswai, etc. And as a result of their perverted introduction, Mahaprabhu's teachings were completely lost. Two things disappeared gradually after Mahaprabhu's disappearance: Mahaprabhu's dham and Mahaprabhu's teachings. Mahaprabhu's teachings got covered over, real teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got covered over by these upper siddhantas. And Mahaprabhu's dham disappeared, and in place of Navadvip, Mayapur, some unscrupulous people started some business claiming that those were the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But then Bhakti Vinod Thakur came, and he revived these two things: teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and retrieved the place of pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was revived in this way by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhaktivinod Thakur was completely convinced about the fact that this movement is meant to spread all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that, but we don't see anyone was giving so much emphasis on that statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That in every town and village all over the world, this Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was absolutely emphatic. He started to write books. In his books it became clear, and especially in his English writings. Although not very extensive writing, but two small books. The life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhagavat. And in both the books, Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphatically emphasized that in due course of time, this movement is going to spread all over the world. And not only to spread all over the world, all different religions of the world will come under the banner, under the umbrella of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. What an inconceivable foresight and what an inconceivable conviction on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statements. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur established, he could not establish an institution, but he gave a blueprint how this mission would spread all over the world in every town and village. He gave it in the form of his Namhat structure. Namhat, the marketplace of the holy name. And he considered that this amazing business will be established all over the world. The business of the holy name. And the sole selling agent of this commodity, the holy name, Mahajan, is Nityananda Prabhu. Mahajan, the word Mahajan means a businessman. Another meaning of the word Mahajan, of course, according to our understanding, Mahajan means the greatest of the devotees. But the local concept of Mahajan is a businessman. Sometimes even a money lender is addressed as Mahajan. So, well, this is the business. The business of holy name. Nityananda Prabhu is the soul selling agent. And then there are wholesalers, distributors, and then finally retailers, and the clients, the people who are going to buy those names. What's the price for buying that name? Shraddha. We don't have to pay money. This is a commodity that we cannot buy with any amount of wealth, any amount of material wealth. This commodity can be purchased with only one price, that is Shraddha. Shraddha Mulle Bikai Naam. He is selling the name, he is distributing the name for the price of Shraddha. The more Shraddha one has, the more one will be able to buy the name. So in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur designed the structure, how this Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. The propagation or the spreading of Krishna consciousness movement, what does it actually mean? It literally means that everywhere people will have the opportunity to buy the name. So there has to be, like in a business, a sole selling agent, then distributors, then wholesalers, and then retailers. And what are the, and the marketplace is Krishna consciousness movement. Nam heart. That's the structure. If anybody wants to buy the holy name, where should he go? He should go to the marketplace. And that marketplace is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur designed. Now, according to that concept, according to that blueprint, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established his Gaudiya Math. And it was distributing the holy name, distributing Krishna consciousness most effectively during his time. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very emphatic about the institution. Why? Because he knew that he is not going to be here forever. He will be there on this planet only for a few years. He actually starting his preaching work in 1920. His preaching mission, maybe you can go back at least say 1918. Actually, it started from 1919, 1920. And he left this planet in 1936. Only for 16 years he was on this planet preaching. And he knew that this mission must continue. This mission must continue even in his absence. And that's why he was so emphatic about establishing an institution. He gave the maximum emphasis on the institution. And that institution was Gaudiya Math. And he emphatically instructed his leading disciples to follow, to carry on the mission collectively through the institution. But unfortunately, due to various mishaps and misconceptions, that structure collapsed. And as the structure collapsed, we saw the preaching stopped. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, Krishna consciousness movement was spreading in leaps and bounds all over, everywhere in India. And he even sent his leading devotees to the West to continue preaching there. Because he was not satisfied just establishing his institution within India. He wanted it to go to be spread outside. Because that is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction would come true in every town and village. Not only in India, but all over the world. During his time, there were 64 mutts only in India. And he attracted most intelligent, most brilliant personalities during his presence on this planet to Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, that mission collapsed, disintegrated. But then came Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's most capable disciple. The sign of the loyalty of a disciple is in how sincerely he carries the spirit of his spiritual master. How sincerely he carries the instructions of his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was not really one of the leading disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was on the planet. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on the planet, Srila Prabhupada was not even one of his leading disciples. Apparently, Prabhupada was not even a sannyasi. Bhaktisiddhanta, naturally, the sannyasis take the leading position. Srila Prabhupada was a householder. Therefore, Prabhupada's identity was quite obscure during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. But from, when we delve deep into Srila Prabhupada's life, then we see that from the very first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada actually accepted his instruction to be his life and soul. His whole life was actually centered around his spiritual master's instruction. And that is the sign of a genuine disciple. A genuine disciple, a true disciple, is one who carries the instruction of his spiritual master as his life and soul. He is prepared to offer everything. He is prepared to even sacrifice everything. He is prepared to even sacrifice his life to follow the instruction of his spiritual master. And we see that so wonderfully manifest through Srila Prabhupada's activities. The first time he met with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just gave a very simple instruction at their very first meeting. You spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world through English language. You are an educated, intelligent man. You must take up this mission. Just the first meeting, one meeting, and that actually changed Srila Prabhupada's life completely. Srila Prabhupada was a very successful young man. At the age of 26, he was the manager of one of the first pharmaceutical companies in India. There were only two pharmaceutical companies. I don't know about other parts of India, but in Calcutta, there were just two pharmaceutical companies. And in those days, pharmaceutical companies were considered to be the most progressive kind of business. One was Bengal Chemical, and the other was Dr. Bose's laboratory. And Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 26, he was the manager of that pharmaceutical company. He was a married man. He was a householder with a son. But what did Srila Prabhupada do? He quit his job. When Dr. Bose asked him why he was quitting his job, this job was most coveted job for any young man, and here Prabhupada is just quitting his job, submitting his resignation. Why? He asked him why. And Prabhupada told him that he met a saintly personality and he instructed him to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make that to be his life's mission. Therefore, he has made this instruction as his life's mission. And Prabhupada said, now that I am employed by you, my time is sold out to you. So I can't fulfill that mission as an employee of your company. Dr. Bose tried to convince Srila Prabhupada, no, that you are not an employee. You are like my son. And when a son joins the father's business, he doesn't become an employee. But Prabhupada would not listen to that argument. Srila Prabhupada was determined that in order to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has to commit himself completely. At the same time, he's a householder, so he'll have to earn his money. So Dr. Bose asked him, so what will you do? He said, well, I'll just do some business. Maybe I'll just go to the share market and start something there. Dr. Bose didn't like the idea. He said, okay, if you want to run your own business, then I'll give you the agency of my products for North India to you. Srila Prabhupada accepted that proposal. He agreed to become the agent for Dr. Bose's products, Dr. Bose's laboratory's products for North India. And Srila Prabhupada went to Allahabad, he set up his pharmacy there, and he was traveling around selling Dr. Bose's products. But Prabhupada's heart was not in business. Prabhupada's heart was in spreading Mahaprabhu's mission. So Prabhupada himself said, In his business he was not successful. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that, yes, you are not doing so well in your business because your heart is not in business. He said, in order to be successful in business, you have to love money. But that's not the case with you. So that's why you are not so successful. I'm not surprised. So that is how we can see from the very first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was completely committed to his mission. Srila Prabhupada accepted his instruction as his life and soul. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada carried the spirit of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart. And that became manifest in due course of time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, when it was lost after his disappearance, was revived by Srila Prabhupada. And that mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we can see that ISKCON is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Namhat and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gauriya Mat. That concept, that spirit, that strategy and that understanding became perfectly manifest through Srila Prabhupada in his ISKCON. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is actually the extension of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has become unmanifest, but ISKCON, in the form of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is still present. And Srila Prabhupada's loyal disciples, loyal followers are carrying on that spirit of Srila Prabhupada in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And in this institution, when one practices the process properly, what will be the outcome? What will be the result? The result is that his heart will become purified. Nirmat Saranam Satam. He will become a Satam. He will become a Mahatma. He will become a pure devotee of Krishna. So the perfect process is there. The perfect arrangement is there. The perfect teachers are there. Now it's up to us to just follow the process. So when I come here and I see you all, what do I see? I simply see that how Srila Prabhupada's teachings, how Srila Prabhupada's instructions, how the process that Srila Prabhupada gave works in a most wonderful way. And as I was saying, why it is working? Because just as Srila Prabhupada carried the spirit of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart, Radhanath Maharaj is carrying the spirit of Srila Prabhupada in his heart. And that's why it's working. It's working. And in this way, a spiritual revolution will continue in this planet. And eventually it will take over the whole world. The revolution will conquer the whole world. And in every town and village, this movement will spread. People will accept Krishna consciousness all over the world and derive an inconceivable spiritual benefit. And in this way, this world will become spiritualized. It won't remain as a part of the material nature. Rather, this part of the material nature, this planet, for thousands of years to come, will become transformed into spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. So, with a very sincere appreciation for Radhanath Maharaj and you all, his wonderful followers, I will express my heartfelt gratitude to you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. His Grace Rasamandala Prabhu ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I've got a confession to make that when I give classes, I have stolen from you a very good ending for a class that I remember years ago. I had the pleasure of attending your course in Vrindavan on Vaishnava etiquette, and I thank you for that. But Maharaj said once, he was, and you mentioned it this time, Maharaj was comparing the heart to different substances such as gold or jewels, but he recommended that our heart become like butter, because then Krishna will steal our heart. So Maharaj, I've stolen that ending, but in one sense I think that summarizes your heart. Hare Krishna, thank you. I was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada the other day, and I've always noticed how Srila Prabhupada says things that are unusual. He's not predictable like many religious leaders or politicians when they speak. And he said, this Krishna consciousness is not enough. So I was surprised. There must be a Krishna conscious society as well. And many religious people, they say, I don't want organized religion. But Srila Prabhupada, as Maharaj was telling us, has to be organized. There also has to be an organization for Krishna consciousness. Of course, India is not so well known, at least in England, I'm from England, for being so well organized. We British tend to think that we gave you the railways and so on. But it's interesting, coming here in this temple, I've seen such a wonderful, organized temple. I also come from Oxford. I live in Oxford. So Oxford was the center of the study of Hinduism, what we might call the Vedic tradition. There are many notable scholars there, such as Max Muller, H.H. Wilson, and so on. You'll be pleased to hear that the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies is reviving the study of the Vedic tradition in a different way, because the British tended to look down on the Indian civilization. You probably know the story that Mahatma Gandhi was once asked, what do you think of Western civilization? That's a good idea. So actually, real civilization begins with the Vedic civilization. So they're very proud of being in Oxford, learned and thoughtful. And I've been working in education for a number of years and convinced that the combination of scholarship, thoughtfulness, and a reflective approach to religion and that soft heart go together very well. I'm also reminded of another saying that Srila Prabhupada made. you may know it. He said, we have to have the courage of an English officer and the heart of a Bengali mother. So, I've been working with education for a number of years, and I come to Chowpatty, and I see that many of the ideas I had, which I was simply speaking about, have actually happened. And I'd like to thank Radhanath Maharaj for his great service to Srila Prabhupada. It's not my duty to thank him, but thank you very much. And also for the tremendous hospitality that everyone has shown here. You certainly here have trained everyone to see the good, and that is very humbling to see that, and it makes me personally feel that I've got to be more dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like to say here, if there's anything I can do in service for this temple and for anyone here, please engage me. It's true what you're saying, Maharaj. We have to take the mission of Srila Prabhupada to heart. And I was listening to another lecture, because unfortunately in Oxford I have to sit on the bus very often. They don't have a very spiritual atmosphere, buses. Is it the same here in India? So I listened to Srila Prabhupada's tapes. And he was saying, this is not just a sentimental movement, it is a scientific movement. The more this movement grows, we must take part in all-round activities to make the world happy. So meditating on this, I felt that we have so much to do that if we take this order to heart, we don't really have time to think of everything else. And I would therefore request you, please take Srila Prabhupada's mission to heart. We may not be able to fulfill it right away. That's a fact. It may take some time, just like Srila Prabhupada apparently wasn't fulfilling the mission of his spiritual master for many years. But later on, those fruits became manifest. So we may feel, due to circumstances or some inner desires for material enjoyment or whatever, we can't fulfill that mission right away. But my own experience is that if we somehow persevere, it will happen in the end. So my request to you is somehow take Srila Prabhupada's mission to heart. Think what you can contribute individually. And seeing the success of this project, I feel reassured that this ISKCON movement will indeed spread throughout the whole world. So I'd like to thank Radhanath Maharaj and Bhakti Chuva Maharaj for their association and their kindness and for seeing the good in others. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Javanaya Sampane Brahmanika Vihastini Sunichaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshanaha. Krishna tells us in this verse in Bhagavad Gita what the quality of a person who is actually learned. Not just in a theoretical sense, but with realization. Such a person is gentle. And they see every living being with equal vision. Whether that person be a highly qualified, learned Brahman, or a cow, or a dog, an elephant, or even a chandala, a penniless beggar living on the streets, even the sinner who is addicted to all kinds of abominable activities. A person who knows God sees the essence within everyone's heart, sees the potential in everyone's lives. Because such a person sees the presence of Krishna everywhere. Because in essence, every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. A true devotee in any great religion is Saragrahi, a person who is looking for the essence everywhere. Paramhamsa is the legendary idea of a swan, special Rajhamsa swan. He can go into even a muddy pool of water and not concern himself in any way with the mud, but will go right to the lotus flower and doesn't even care about the other parts of the lotus flower. He just goes right to the essence of the nectar and drinks that. Even if polluted water is mixed with milk, the Rajhamsa can extract the milk and leave all the pollutions behind. Why? Because he doesn't care anything for those pollutions. Person who looks for the essence, looks for the good everywhere, looks for the opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord in every situation and to be an instrument of the Lord's compassion. That is a person who is actually spiritual. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj was discussing the subject of envy. An envious person is quite the opposite. A person who will drink the sewage contaminated water, extract that essence, and spit out the milk with no care. Because due to many, many years, perhaps lifetimes of conditioning oneself, one develops a taste for the superficial, external, and unimportant things, which are like sewage. The crow loves sewage. The hog loves stool and urine. But the honeybee will not even look in the direction of those things. He's always looking for the nectar within a flower. One who is beginning to awaken love of God develops these attributes. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, your qualification for being able to understand my message is you are not envious of anyone, anywhere, at any time. You are not envious. You are my friend and my devotee. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he expounds on that principle and explains who is actually a great Vaishnava, who is a truly person advanced in spiritual life. It is not a person who could perform magical tricks, not a person who can produce ashes or read minds, or tell your future by looking at the stars. This is all superficial. What is the essence of a person who's really close to God? Rupa Goswami tells, that person has no inclination and no propensity to find faults in others. On one level, if we're sincere, we do not find faults with others. We do not speak harshly, unnecessarily about other people, whether it's true or false. We have the propensity, but we try to restrain it. That is part of the process. But a person with a pure heart who could actually understand the words of Krishna is a one who doesn't even have the slightest inclination or propensity to find faults with others. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the pujari of Sri Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan, he had this quality. He was constantly singing the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by describing Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. This great literature described not only the glories of the Lord, but the glories of all the devotees of the Lord. And he understood the essence of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. He understood Lord Chaitanya's heart. There is one passage in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raises his arms to emphasize the point he was about to make. And he said, "Hear and hear well, brothers and sisters. You will attain the perfection of life if you simply, sincerely take shelter of the holy names and do not find faults in others. Just chant Hare Krishna and do not criticize others." It sounds quite easy, but it's very difficult for many, because we are habituated to this prajalpa, to this gossip. It's in the news. It's in the magazines. It's on the television. It makes great cinemas. It's in our family. It's in our society. It's amongst our friends. Prajalpa is an epidemic. And according to the holy scriptures, whether it is the Holy Quran, the Holy Bible, or the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of this prajalpa, nonsense talk, gossip, is it spoils our love for God. It drains our spiritual energies from our heart. But yet it is so rampant. It is a disease. According to medical science, many doctors and people who are very recognized in the field, they are predicting that in the near future, one out of every four human beings is going to die of cancer. One out of 10 women today are going to contract breast cancer. These are high statistics. It's an epidemic level. And AIDS, in certain countries, including here in Bombay, thousands of people are contracting AIDS every day, often by irresponsible lifestyles. the bubonic plague, the black plague in Europe, in some countries wiped out the population of 1/4 of the whole population in just a matter of a few decades. But this prajalpa, this tendency to find pleasure in hearing the faults, the fall downs, and the scandals of others, and speaking that way, it is epidemic level. Practically 99% of the population are affected with this disease, an inner disease. That propensity to find fault with others. And what is that propensity? It is the most fundamental disease that keeps us bound to the sufferings of life. It is called envy. So yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized Trinadapi Sunichena Tador Ibasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And why did he emphasize it so much? Because we can't really be a devotee. We can't really access the power of the holy name in full unless we take this so seriously. Lord Chaitanya gave us this command to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, to give all respect to other and offer and not expect any respect for oneself. Then we could chant the name constantly. Why we have this tendency to find fault with others. It is born of ahankar, the false ego, arrogance. Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. We're very eager to judge others, and very eager to justify and even hide our own faults, and pretend we're something we're not. But a devotee is very open to find their own faults, and in that state, humbly fall at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and those who could help us. So this pujari at Radha Govinda temple, he was like this. He was constantly singing the glories of the Lord. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And even the greatest personalities were coming to him to hear him describe Lord Chaitanya's beautiful pastimes and teachings. And why were so many people attracted? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains. Because he had no inclination to hear or speak at the faults of others. In fact, if someone was gossiping about another person, especially another devotee, he would leave that place immediately. Even if it's true, I do not want to hear it. The fact that this person is trying to serve God is all I need to know to honor him or her. This is culture. Actual culture is about properly respecting everyone according to our relationship with them. Actual culture is about uplifting the consciousness of ourselves and all of humanity through art, through music, through dance, through philosophy and poetry, through science and technology, through human relationships, through developing families, developing ashrams. Culture reaches out to every aspect of life, and it is culture if it is serving this purpose of uplifting people's consciousness. And real upliftment means bringing it closer to God, to Krishna. When Krishna is in the center of our life, when Krishna is in the center of our relationships, when Krishna is in the center of all of our efforts and endeavors, we will find Krishna everywhere. Yega tamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna tells, as you approach me, I reveal myself accordingly. According to our desire, Krishna will reveal. If you want to find fault with others, by the Lord's will, we will see unlimited faults in that person, if that's what you want. Even if they're not even there, we will see it. And we will be convinced of it. It will appear to us as real as the sun at noon. That's what we want to see. Here it is. Shishupal, what did he personify? Envy. The nature of his envy went to such an extent that he wanted to blaspheme every living entity in all material and spiritual worlds. Yes? Maybe not consciously, but unconsciously. Because he was blaspheming Krishna. And every living being is the part and parcel of Krishna. If you blaspheme the root of the tree, you're attacking the whole tree. We know this philosophy. If you water the root of the whole tree is nourished. If you water the root of the tree properly, then all the branches, leaves, twigs, flowers, they will flourish. But if you attack the root of the tree, then you attack every part of the tree. So Shishupal was attacking Krishna. At every moment, every aspect of Krishna, he only saw faults. He only saw darkness. He was seeing pitch darkness in the sun. How is that possible? It wasn't just figurative. He saw it. He believed it. He was convinced of it. He was willing to put his life on the line that Krishna was the worst person on earth. And no one should respect him. He should be scorned and rejected. Hare Krishna. The atheists, where do they get all their arguments from? From Krishna. If you want to reject God, if you want a life and a so-called civilization without God, then Krishna will give you so many arguments and convince you that there can be no God. That one very famous atheist who was like a founder acharya of some atheistic movement. He was so convinced there is no God that he would assemble many, many people together, even believers. And he would stand on an elevated platform and cry out with a loud voice, God, there is no God. There is no God. This is absolute scientific fact, and I will give you proof. Then he would turn to the sky and cry out in a chastising voice, "If you are their God, then strike me down with a thunderbolt at this moment, and if you don't, that is the evidence that you do not exist. Now strike me now, I dare you, I challenge you." And everyone would be waiting for the thunderbolt. There was no thunderbolt. And then he would turn to everyone with wrath in his eyes. "You see, there is no God. Give up all this sentiment, all this superstition, and let us progress through science." Hare Krishna. Krishna doesn't have to respond to such a fool's call. But where is that man now? He was struck by the thunderbolt of time. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So yes, what we want to see is what we will see. Look at, in the name of religion today, people are so arrogant, so egoistic, so self-righteous, that in the name of God, they're willing to kill, terrorize, demean idol worshippers, pagans. Huh? In the name of religion. William Blake has written, "You and me, we both read the Bible day and night. You read black, and I read white." Actually, on each page there's black and white, right? There's some are seeing the black and some are seeing the white. The same words of the same personality. And people are fighting and killing each other over the interpretation. And the person saying that you should love and respect all living beings. Hare Krishna. How is that? With such conviction. Krishna is seated within the heart of every living being and reciprocates accordingly. Yes, there is good and bad everywhere. If you're looking for the essence, if you're looking for the chance to serve, if you're looking for the good qualities, if you're looking for the potential in another person, Krishna will reveal that to you. And it will illuminate your heart. But if you're looking for the darkness, if you're looking for the faults due to envy, that's all you'll see. And the more you see good in another, the more you will become envious. The more you see success in another, the more you become envious, like fuel on a fire. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami declares, and Prabhupada repeats it with great emphasis, that what is a Vaishnav? A true devotee of Krishna. One who rejoices to see another person's success. One who rejoices to see another person spiritually prospering, being blessed and empowered to do wonderful things. That is what we must strive for. If we want that, if we pray for that, if we strive for that, it will be given. Knock and the door will open. Seek and ye shall find. Krishna gives us according to our desire. What Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj was speaking was very, very deep and relevant to all of our lives. what he said about me was irrelevant because it was, he was looking for a little drop of milk and he was leaving beside the whole ocean of sewage. But the principle he was speaking is very important. That yes, we have these tendencies to find faults in others, to see the bad in others, to exploit others. We have to be intelligent enough to identify it. The problem is not that person's fault. The problem is not that person's downfalls. The problem is I am envious. That is the problem. Srila Prabhupada was not envious. Srila Prabhupada was meeting people who were the most downtrodden, who were oceans of faults. But he saw that little spark, that spark of spirituality in the heart of everyone. And he just focused completely on that spark, encouraged it, and fanned that spark with his compassion, with his wisdom, with his love, and made those little sparks grow into flames and then fires. Such a fire that started spreading throughout all the continents on earth. That was Srila Prabhupada's nature. And that is what we must all take responsibility to strive for. As human beings, we are responsible for whatever we do, whatever we say, and for whatever we want to focus our minds on. So yes, we must take serious responsibility for this. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, because that is a quality of love. To be the well-wisher, to be the friend of others, to live with a sense of dignity that other people can trust us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. Prabhupada said, you will go back to Godhead if you simply have faith in one thing, that I have not come to cheat you. I've come to serve you. I've come to give you the most precious gift. And Prabhupada was willing to sacrifice his life to give even the most insignificant person that gift of Krishna's compassion. So it is our responsibility. And we grow spiritually, Prabhupada explained, according to how we take responsibility in our lives. We cannot be whimsical. Thakur Bhaktivinoda has sung, Grihe thako vane thako, Sada hari bole thako, Suke duke bulo nako, Parne hari nam koro re, Gai gora madhu sware. Whether you're a grihastha, living with a family, working an occupation in the city of Mumbai even, or whether you're a brahmachari or sannyasi, living in the forest or in the ashram, that is not what's important. What is important is according to the directions of the Lord, we are taking shelter of the holy name. But our responsibility is we chant the holy name with this service attitude, with this disposition. We cannot just expect everyone else to do it, and then I'll just somehow or other be carried along with them. That is not how we make spiritual progress. We all must personally identify ourselves and take responsibility for what Krishna is telling. Not to pollute the atmosphere with prajalpa. Not to pollute the atmosphere with unregulated activities. But to invest goodness and grace into the atmosphere by seeing the good in others, by encouraging the good in others, by speaking the glories of the Lord, and by chanting in this spirit the holy names. Then this knowledge that we are reading in the scriptures and finding in our classes they will be transported from our brains to our hearts. And the heart is the sitting place of the soul, not the brain. No scripture tells us that the spirit soul and the Paramatma is seated within the brain of every living being. It's the heart of every living being. To become spiritually purified, this knowledge has to be transferred from our brains to our heart. It's not a matter of memorization. It's not a matter of eloquence and speaking. It's a matter of humility and dedication. And an enthusiasm to serve. An enthusiasm to see Krishna and to serve Krishna. So yes, we cannot just expect everyone to carry us along. We must take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Guru. Take shelter of Vaishnavas. Because without that shelter, our spiritual inclinations will easily be crushed by Maya. But part of taking shelter, an essential part of taking shelter, it's not just a sentiment. Taking shelter means something dynamic. It means what Krishna says, I will depend on His mercy and the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, and I will do it. That is taking shelter. And what do we want to do? We want to really try in our lives to take this responsibility of being exemplary. Humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, respectful to others without prestige. And in this spirit, to be dynamic. And do powerful things within this world according to our capacity to enlighten human society. At this time, we will be very specially enlightened by the world-famous Sankirtan performance of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. When great souls glance upon us with affection, we should know through their hearts compassion, which is manifesting through their eyes, we are receiving the mercy of Krishna and Sri Radharani. And when great personalities who have pure hearts devoid of envy, chant the holy names. It is like a massive monsoon rain of mercy showering upon us. In our enthusiasm to hear, in our enthusiasm to reciprocate by chanting and dancing, will determine how we are receiving that monsoon rain of mercy that is falling upon us. So my sincere appeal to all of you, please forgive me for my offenses, and let us take great joy in Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj's chanting of the holy names. I wish to thank you very, very, very much. Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Ras Mandala Prabhu Ki Jai. Yadubar Prabhu, wherever you are. Go Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Go Pranandi.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. Samubeto Bhakta Vrinda Ki. His Grace Rasamandala Prabhu Ki. Radhanath Maharaj was speaking about merciful glands. Now, one thing becomes very obvious.
Kirtan.
That schedule, as Maharaj said,
the schedule is kirtan.
A pure devotee
should not violate.
A pure devotee's merciful glance imbibes spiritual enthusiasm. And today, I could understand why the atmosphere here is so inspiring. And why and how come you all have developed such wonderful spirit of Krishna consciousness. Once again, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki Gaur Premanande. I was just remembering one statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining about the hearing and chanting. He's saying that hearing the holy name is not just an ordinary hearing. It is actually the holy name enters through the passage of our ears. Karna randhro patho diya hridi majhe probeshiya Borishoy Shudha Anupam. Entering through the passage of our ears, it comes to the region of our heart, and there it starts to shower an unique nectar, an unique shower of nectar of Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema. And then the chanting takes place. How? Ridai hoite bole, jubhar agrete chale, shabdorupe nache onukhan. The holy name then rises from the depth of our heart. Ridai hoite bole, it actually forces its way to the tip of our tongue, jubhar agrete chale, and there it starts to dance in the form of transcendental sound vibration. So, we must hear the holy name with the understanding that it is Krishna who is entering through our ears and coming to the region of our heart, begins to shower an unique nectar. And then, when you chant, it should be the holy name actually forces its way. It is the pure soul that chants. And that chanting is the sound, the holy name rises from the depth of our heart
and coming to the tip of our tongue, it begins to dance in the form of transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna.